Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. I'm excited for Anthony and Ashley. Thank you for saying yes to the calling God has given you guys. And great to share a platform with missionaries. My wife is here with me. Faith is here. And my youngest is actually here in the sanctuary. Her name is Eliana. And I have two more girls. They are at the kids' church. I have three girls, 7, 5, and 4. They are Sarah, Mercy, and Eliana. It's just always good to be together as a family. I don't get to do this very often because my wife actually stays back, but it's always good to be together. And praise the Lord. Thank you for supporting us and loving us. You guys have been such an integral part of what God is doing in the city of Boston among students. Thank you for your continued support and prayer. And we cannot do this without your support and prayer. Thank you for doing that. I want to tell a story. A few weeks ago was September 8th is when Northeastern University started the first day of their class. Within the first week, we had the privilege of meeting a few men and a few girls. Patrick is a particular name that I want to mention to you today. Patrick called himself an atheist. But when we talk a lot, when we spend time together, he would talk a lot about his grandfather. He would not mention much about his parents particularly. So he said yes to hanging out with me every Wednesday for lunch. And that has been happening every single Wednesday. And his interest, we are becoming friends. We would have lunch every Wednesday, and he came to our house a couple of times. And he had dinner with us a few times. And one of those times, while we were at home, he said, "C.S., man, I never had a family like you have." And then I said, "Well, I'm glad I'm here." So I said that to mention that our friendship is becoming more friend-like, if you will. So he would actually start saying things about his family, the things that he didn't have, the things that he wished we had. So please be praying for Patrick. He's an intelligent man, but there is nothing that he does not know. He knows everything under the sun, everything under the sun. And my friends call him a walking encyclopedia. He really is, man. Bible, well, he knows Bible too. But we'll see what happens, right? But God is at work, so we are able to do this on a full-time basis, spend our days on campus because you guys are praying and you guys are supporting us. And thank you for the work that you do. And we are extremely grateful. I would like to read a long passage today before I get to my points. We have a long passage to read, so hang in there with me. And we will talk about two different things and we will conclude the sermon today. The passage is from Jonah chapter 1. Verse 1 to 3 and 4, and then Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. I'm reading from ESV. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come upon before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish in the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." That is an important point here. God asked Jonah to go to one direction. He bought a ticket to go to the opposite direction. And it says he did that to get away from the presence of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.' And the Lord said, 'Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, pay attention here. And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Should not I pity Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Would you speak to us this morning? Would you open our hearts and mind that we will hear what you are speaking, and we will be ready to obey what you're asking of us to do, so that your name will be glorified in our life and through our life. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not a new story. You might have already heard several sermons from this particular story. The story of Jonah is not foreign to your children. If you have been to Sunday school, you have the story of Jonah and the whale. Remember that, right? So we are not going to talk about Jonah and the whale today. We are going to see a prophet's journey to the heart of God. God gives Jonah a very clear direction to go to a particular city called Nineveh. It says that the evil of the people of Nineveh has come up before the presence of God. That this means God is getting ready to do something about their evil, but God reaches out to his prophet, his servant, prophet Jonah, and asks him to go preach against their evil so that this particular people will repent. Jonah received the word from God, but takes a ship the opposite direction. From Jonah was sitting, God asked him to go 500 miles west to Nineveh to preach the gospel, but Jonah pays extra, buys a ticket, and goes 2,500 miles east from God. Why? To get away from God's presence. Just a side note there. When we clearly disregard what God has asked us to do, we always find ourselves so far from his care, so far from where we're supposed to be, and life becomes burdensome. Now, why would Jonah ever do that? What is this compelling reason Jonah has that he would not go and preach the gospel to these particular people in Nineveh? There are three particular reasons. One of them, it was a city of war, and warlike reputation was well earned through its numerous conquest and cruel treatment of those conquered. Nineveh was known for the brutality of their killings. That is what they were known for. Jonah's people, Israelites, have tasted this particular ability of cruelty from Jonah in the past. Jonah's forefathers had tasted the way Ninevites have treated them in the past, so he did not like them. Number two, this was a place of wealth and fame. And you know, because they were wealthy and fame, people just didn't like them. Number three reason was that it was huge. There were two huge libraries in the particular place, and also there were two temples that was dedicated to the goddess of Ishtar, and she was the goddess of war and love. So their military power and cruel treatment of those they conquered, their fame and wealth, and their idolatry and sexual perversion, all this were part of Nineveh, and the people lived such an evil life. Jonah, being a prophet, he said, I am not going to that particular place, because Jonah believed that this city is evil, and Jonah did not want them to escape the anger of God, the judgment of God. Jonah wanted them to pay the price for their evil actions. Simply said, Jonah hated them. He did not care if the people of Nineveh were all dead. In some sense, Jonah really wished if they were all dead. Can a prophet of God hate a group of people that way? The Bible says it's possible. Sometimes we underestimate what our hearts can do, don't we? In some sense, we are walking with the Lord, going to church, reading the scriptures, going to Bible school, going to Sunday school, going to small group meetings, but there could be a part of our heart that hates a group of people, that hates a family member, that hates a friend who did something so unacceptable to you a long time ago. Here is God's prophet. God has given him a message and sent him to a particular group of people. But in his heart, he has this deep-seated hatred toward this particular group of people. Jonah was a victim of these evil works of the people of Nineveh. Jonah believed that the people of Nineveh should pay for what they have been doing. In one sentence, Jonah ran away from God's clear direction for the people of Nineveh because he wanted to control the outcome for the people of Nineveh. See, this is what happens. We run away from God's specific direction in our lives. We want to control the outcome. That is the reason we run away from God's specific direction to us, because we want to control the outcome. And I do not know if you're sitting here, maybe God told you to do something last week or a month ago. Maybe God asked you to go, hey, how would you go speak to this person that you're so frustrated about? Maybe God spoke to you about, hey, why don't you grab a coffee with this person that you think what they're thinking about you. But he said, God, no, I don't want to do that. But maybe this morning, God is asking you to follow the directions God is asking you to do, because we run away from God's specific direction to us because we want to control the outcome. Point number two, raging Jonah is very angry at God. He says that, I knew that you are a gracious God. Now, let me backtrack. So, what happens here? Nineveh, Jonah shows up. No, Jonah did not show up at Nineveh. God brings Jonah to Nineveh. Well, I'm not going to talk about how he ends up there. It wasn't easy. However, at the moment, Jonah is at Nineveh, he preached and the people repented. So God listens to the cry of the people of Nineveh. After Jonah preached to them, God had compassion toward them. Seeing the repentance and compassion of God toward them, the fact that God spared them from judgment, Jonah the prophet is now displeased and angry at God. Remember where it started? In his heart, at first he had anger toward a group of people. But now, God had compassion to this particular group of people, now Jonah is angry at God himself. Isn't it crazy? Can you actually imagine a moment like that in your own life? Maybe I can think a lot, a moment like that when I was in my high school or something, you know. But God, I told you, don't do this. And I don't bless them, don't bless them, don't bless them. But God blesses them. Now I'm frustrated with God about it. Remember that? Jonah is that way here. He says, I knew that you are a gracious God and a merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. I know you are a God like that. I knew if I were to go preach the gospel to this particular group of people, and they will repent and you will forgive them. I knew that. So that is the reason why I did not want to go there in the first place, because I want them all to die. You wonder, is it still in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the book of Jonah. Jonah believed in the compassion of God. He must have had experience in his own life. He believed that God should have compassion only to certain people, definitely not to evil people. Jonah believed that because the people of Nineveh were not compassionate, so good should not be compassionate toward them. Jonah is displeased and angry at God because the outcome he wanted for the people of Nineveh is not being met. God asks him, do you do well to be angry, Jonah? And he says, and we read that angry Jonah goes outside the city and sat there to see what would happen to that city. Somehow, secretly, he's still wishing, even though God was compassionate toward them, maybe he will spare the people, he will surely destroy the city. Isn't it crazy that? He's still hoping. God had compassion toward people. But he thought, you know what, I'm just going to find a seat here. I'm going to sit here and watch. I think there will be still some kind of punishment I'm expecting from God. Maybe this God will destroy their wealth. I want to witness that. I want to see here. I just want to sit here and see what would happen to the city. God appoints a plant to give shade over his head so that he will be comfortable as he's sitting, wanting to watch the destruction of the city. It says, Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Remember, this was the only time in the entire book, in the entire story, Jonah was happy for a minute when God gave him a plant to have some shade. That is right. Jonah was happy because God provided for his comfort. How many of us are reminded of our own life? We get angry at people, we get angry at God, but we get happy when we feel comforted. Right? We feel angry at people, angry at God, but praise the Lord, thank you for giving me a new BMW. We get happy instantly, right? Then we read, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant and the scorching east wind. And the next thing we know is that sun beat down on the head of Jonah and he was faint. Now what God did was the plant God gave him for shade, God decided to take the plant away. And then Jonah is angry again. Now he says, God asked him, do you do well to be angry, Jonah? And Jonah says, yes. I am angry enough to die. See, first time, Jonah gets angry at God for sparing the people of Nineveh from judgment. Jonah was angry at God because he showed compassion toward them. That this time, he is angry because God took his comfort. Isn't it amazing how much we get angry at God for taking away our comforts, right? It's like, hey, how is life going? My life is going good, but you know, I had this, but I don't have it. I'm frustrated, right? So we get happy with God when God provides for our comfort, but we get angry at God when he takes away the comfort he gives us. On one side, he's angry at God because God showed compassion toward a people that deserved severe judgment or punishment. But on the other side, Jonah, the world deserving God's compassion, feels judged by God when he lost his comfort. It was like God should not have done this to Nineveh, to the people of Nineveh, but God should have done this to me, meaning you should not have taken, you should not have continued to give me comfort. See, Jonah's raging anger against God has one reason, and that is the outcome he's expecting did not come into fruition. In both scenarios, Jonah had two expectations here. The first one, Jonah expected God to condemn or judge the people of Nineveh, and that did not come into fruition. And the second expectation is that why would God would take away the plant that he put on to give me shade? But God does that. God takes away that. So in both scenarios, God is doing something that he is not expecting. So this is the point here. We get frustrated and angry at God when he does not meet our expectations. We run away from God because we want to control the outcome, but we get frustrated at God when he does not meet our expectations. Verse 10 and 11, and the Lord said, you pitied the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night, and should not I pity Nineveh, the great city? God is finally showing Jonah his own heart. He says to Jonah, you pity the plant that you did not labor, nor did you make it grow. Should I pity this great city? For Jonah, these people were just cruel people, deserving of the punishment of God. But for God, they were his children made in his image. This is something that Jonah understood for the first time, that God's compassion to all people is beyond his personal feelings. God's compassion to all people is beyond his personal feelings. Jonah was sent on a mission. He did not really understand the intensity of this mission. Jonah was out of touch with the surroundings and out of touch with the message he sent to preach. And he was only in touch with his comfort. God was trying to reach the heart of a prophet, showing him his own heart. Jonah, you're worried too much about the plant, but I am concerned for these people who were made in my image. I will tell you a story. Worship team can come forward. But I will tell you a story here of a Malden boy who grew up to be one of the greatest missionaries and first American to be sent out as a missionary. His name is Adoniram Judson. He was born in Malden, in this particular town. In 1812, Adoniram and Anne Judsons sailed to the east, initially on track for India. That is where they headed as missionaries. However, they ended up in Burma, the modern-day Myanmar. From the beginning of the marriage was centered around God's call on their lives to missions. Both Adoniram and Anne knew God's command to reach the unreached. And they spent their entire lives sharing the gospel to the unreached. Adoniram and Anne Judson went through many hard times in Burma. The poor food, the unbearable heat, and widespread disease made their life very difficult. Two of their babies died in the terrible climate, and both Anne and Adoniram were imprisoned during the war with Britain. Anne died because of terrible conditions. Adonirai marries Sarah, his second wife, and they had 8 children together. A few years later, in 1845, Sarah, his second wife, died looking for medical attention. When Adonirai Judson died in 1850, there were 7,000 baptized believers, 63 Christian congregations, and 163 missionaries in Burma. To this day, over 108 years later, his Burmese Bible translation is still in use. Adonirai Judson was buried into the watery depths of the Bay of Bengal in India. And he lived, and he is from your town called Malden. I mentioned the story to tell you this. Adonirai Judson lived a life in touch with the message and in touch with the character of God and out of touch with his own comfort. And that is the life God calls us to do. The mission of God starts by knowing what is dear to God's heart, and we live and partake in this mission of God by continuing to fight for what is dear to God's heart. May I ask you this question? What is the most dear thing to God's heart? I will tell you, you are the most dear thing to God's heart. You are the most dear thing to God's heart, not because you came to church this morning, because you are made in the image of God. And he sent his son to redeem us. And what is the most dearest thing for God's heart? I will tell you, the people on the streets of Malden are the most important thing for God's heart. The people that you see on a subway, on a commuter rail, on Boston Common, the people that you see on Stop and Shop and Walmart, those people are the dearest thing for God's heart. The mission of God is that to know, this is the beginning, for us to understand and know these people are loved by God because God loves them so dearly because they were made in the image of God. And Jesus came and died for these people. Just if you know that, that is the beginning of missions. Let me tell you, the people who live in your neighborhood, the people who live next door, the person who work on the next cubic in your office, they are loved by God. That's the beginning of missions. Would you please stand with me? In Jonah, we see a man who runs away from God's direction. It's because he wanted to control the destiny of these people whom he hated. May I ask you this morning in a very personal way, are you running from a direction, a clear direction that God gave you because you want to have a specific outcome? God is calling you back to him this morning. God's direction in your life is the best direction for your life. What God asks you to do is the best thing you can do for you. Don't put that on hold. Just go to him. God is calling you to himself this morning. Again, some words that came to Jonah is coming to you this morning. Arise and go. Arise and go to Jesus this morning. Because he has the best interest. Are you running away from God's direction that God gave you regarding your family, about your neighborhood, about your workplace, and God is telling you, rise and go. He is about to show compassion on these people whom you have been directed to go and talk to. Hey, the altars are open. If God is moving in your heart, find a place wherever you sit or stand. You can make an altar where you stand or sit. and ask God, Lord, what are you telling me clearly to do? And would you help me to do that? And if you're trying to control an outcome, would you let Jesus come in? Would you please follow the direction God is asking you to do? Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for calling us to your heart again this morning. Would you give us the courage to follow your directions, Lord? Would you help us to put aside all the special interest we have, all the things that we're trying to manipulate and to bring an outcome out of it? Would you help us to wholeheartedly follow your direction? Because your direction is the best out there, Lord. Would you make us a people who understands your heart, God? Would you open our eyes, open our heart to see that the people who live next door to us, the people that we see every day in our life, you love them so dearly, Lord. Would you help us to know that and see that, God? And we will be people who take responsibility for the people who bring into our lives. Would you make us a people who live in touch with your message, who live in touch with your character, but out of touch with our own comfort. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.